Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Don't blame God and don't blame the Word of God for what's going on. It is in the heart of every human being to be in a place of depravity whenever fear and sin takes control. You better say right now in the name of Jesus, I don't care what the color of your skin is. We're going to get together and have faith together because we're going to need one another sooner rather than later.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a message that was taken from a recent Sunday service here at Pace Assembly. This is Make Your Move. Let's go into the word with Pastor Rogers today.
The king one day, the Bible says, was walking on the walls of the capital city, having been to such a condition, he's the leader now. Don't get down on the leader, because sometimes you don't even know what they're going through. He's praying and walking around, asking the question, what am I going to do? And one woman comes up to him, screaming for his attention. She says, I need to tell you something. I need to let you know what's going on. And he turns around to her and says this, and blames God in doing so. He says in verse 26, if the Lord can't help you, how can I? I have no power to grow crops, and I have no power to make the wine. The king just blurted that out to the woman, and in despair, she cries out to him, hear what I've got to say. He calms his emotions, and he listens to this woman who says, I want you to know that I made a pact with this other woman, and we were going to cannibalize our two sons. This is how desperate it got in Samaria. We were going to cannibalize our sons, and we did cannibalize her son, but now I'm looking for her. She's got her son in hiding and won't bring him out. And the king was in such anguish and despair that the depravity of man had gotten to such a condition that now they were taking each other's sons and for cannibalism. And the Bible says that the king ripped his garment. The royal robes of leadership didn't mean anything to him. It was in such a place of despair that when he ripped his garment, the people saw him wearing sackcloth, burlap, up against his skin. In other words, he put himself in a place of such utter anguish and despair that the burlap was rubbing. That's what they did when they were in despair and didn't know what to do. They put on sackcloth and ashes, burlap and ashes. So don't look at the royal robes of the king. Look at what he's wearing underneath. He is praying. He's saying, God, where are you now? He's blaming God. I know some people would say, I would never blame God, but you let a country, you let a people, you let people get in such a desperate condition, and fear will drive them to do stuff that they would not normally do. The accusation against God and the king's emotion answered that woman, I can't help you. I don't know what to do. So there's violence, murder, and cannibalism. Now watch this. The sin of blaming God was there, but here's another condition in effect. He had planned to assassinate the only prophet, Elisha, who had brought a word from the Lord for all of them. He said, I'm going to kill that man, Elisha. He's the one who brought this on. Whatever you do, don't kill the messenger who brings the good news of the word of God. You better not slay him, because I'm going to tell you, without the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, we are of all men most miserable and lost. So the king blames God. And now the king didn't know that Elisha was having a meeting with the elders of the city trying to figure out what to do. And the king says, I want you, messenger, to go and assassinate. Listen, this plays better than anything you're watching on TV. This is right out of your Bible. The king tells the messenger, he says, I want you to go and assassinate Elisha, the man of God who's bringing this prophetic word. He's the one who brought it on. And God will speak to his prophets and show them his secrets. He'll show you the secrets if you'll pray. If you won't be afraid and pray, God will show you what's going on before it even arrives. And God downloaded on Elisha and said, listen, there's an assassin coming to kill you. And Elisha speaks to all the men in the room. He says, listen, there's somebody trying to kill me and the king's behind it. Go and lock the door. lock the door and don't let the assassin in. But before the men could get up to lock the door, the assassin comes busting into the room, but he couldn't do anything because the elders were sitting there. And Elisha said, I hear the footsteps of the king right behind him. All of a sudden, the king of the northern kingdoms of Israel steps into the room with Elisha, the assassin, and all the elders that are in the room because they're in such a place of desperation, they don't know what to do. Isn't it interesting that the first thing people want to do whenever terrorists lob their planes into the Twin Towers, whenever people get into such a desperate condition, they want to blame God first, and it's not God's fault at all. Come on, somebody. They want to blame the church. They want to blame somebody else. And today they use it with accuracy in a secluded, dark place. But I want you to know God is still God. And I came to tell you today, church, in this 10 o'clock service, that God still has everything under control. Are you hearing me? Don't blame God and don't blame the Word of God for what's going on. It is in the heart of every human being to be in a place of depravity whenever fear and sin takes control. You can blame other people if you want to, but hear me. You might need them sometime in the future. You better hold up before you kick a man while he's down. You better say right now in the name of Jesus, I don't care what the color of your skin is. We're going to get together and have faith together because we're going to need one another sooner rather than later. The Bible says that the fourth effect was absolute hopelessness that took place. Listen, this is where the enemy wants to get you. He wants to get you to in such a place of fear that you'll give up yourself without him having to do anything. Elisha was talking to the leaders and they were making a plan. And when the king arrived, he opens the door and makes this declaration in the room. Why don't we just surrender to the enemy? Emphatic statement comes like this, he says. Why should we wait any longer for the Lord's deliverance? That's where this country's at. Why should we wait on the Lord anymore? He hasn't answered yet. What's all this prayer? What's all this Bible? What's all the conditions? All things continue like they are. You better wait just a minute. Because if we reject God and deny God in this situations that we're in right now, we will all fall into despair and depravity. Let me put this on you. If there is no God, then the Ten Commandments are not really His Word. If the Word of God becomes irrelevant in society, then it becomes regulated and pushed back to ancient societies, and then we don't have to obey it. This is what people are saying today. That's when lawlessness takes over, my friend. Hear the words of Ravi Zacharias, who just went home to be with the Lord. I love this statement. The reason we have 17,000 pages on our law books is because we cannot follow the 10 lines in the tablets of stone. Many years ago, they covered up the Ten Commandments on the courthouse of Dafuniac Springs, and the statement came, what ignorance. We covered it up because if somebody saw it, they might feel obligated to obey it. What's wrong with thou shalt not murder? What's wrong with thou shalt not lie? I'm not getting no amens up in here. I know I'm in the right place. What's wrong with thou shalt not covet? Come on, somebody. What's wrong if we get the first one right, everything else will fall in place. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That includes fear. When we elevate fear above faith and trust in God's word, we will fall into the trap of the devil. Without God, there is no moral absolutes. Without God, there is no peace. Without God, there is no joy. Without God, there is no future life beyond this life. And so you might as well do what the scripture says. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. This is the condition of the enemy's attack against us. This is the condition of lawlessness and murder and war and rape and assaults. Consequently, there is a severe crisis, and I'm seeing this right now, when a severe crisis arises, like this virus that we've been dealing with that is beyond our control, a spirit of helplessness and hopelessness grips the hearts and lives of people. Desperate people start doing desperate things. And if the crisis is severe enough, People sink into the depths of depravity and corruption just to escape the crisis. Look at the evil that's going on in the world. It comes from, listen to me, listen very carefully to me. Let's get this straight, because there's going to be a lot of debate that's going on, but I'm about to put my finger right on the whole issue. It comes from the depravity of the human heart, either from a selfish desire or the lust of the heart from a sense of hopelessness and despair. That's what the king was saying. This is a disaster that's come from the Lord. Why should we wait on him any longer? But ladies and gentlemen, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that trust in the Lord will be strong and do exploits. I came to tell you today, there is hope in the middle of a hopeless situation. And if you'll have faith and not allow fear to take over, God is going to bring you and those you love in this church and this world through it. Not everybody's going to survive it. The king said, we're in such a place of despair, let's just quit and give it over to the enemy. You mean after all the years of you praying? See, what you don't know is what God has already planned in a secret room of conference. You better hear me. Many people give up their faith when they're right on the edge of their miracle. Right on the edge of their son and daughter coming to the Lord. Right on the edge of the miracle taking place. And the enemy pushes them to such a degree that they act out in fear that God is not doing anything. And so they jump headlong and say, you might as well quit, might as well give up. The enemy's got the upper hand. But I came to tell you, listen, if you've heard it before, here it is again. I've got a late breaking news bulletin for you, a word from the Lord. Elisha says in this story, I hear what you're saying, but I want to tell you that this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much food in abundance and the famine is going to be over that you're going to be able to buy anything you want, massive amounts of food with one penny. Listen, the word of the Lord came from the prophet Elisha. Here's the problem. People looked at him. In fact, the closest advisor to the king looked at him with skepticism and with fear and said, this is an unbelievable statement, preacher. I know you're saying that there is hope beyond this situation. I know you're saying that it could be over tomorrow, but I came to tell you, this is in your Bible. You should read this. He says, this is so unbelievable. He makes this statement. Even if the Lord himself opens up the floodgates of heaven, this famine is not going to be over. I doubt it. He ridiculed him. He mocked him. And here's what the prophet of God said. He looked at him in the face and said, it's going to happen, but you're not going to get to eat of it. Come on, somebody. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I know that it looks desperate in many places. I know that people are filled with fear. I know that we're still dealing with all kinds of stuff, but hear what I'm telling you. This word right here has already been settled in heaven. It will come to pass. You might not get to eat of it if you don't have faith. Only those that have faith in God are going to trust his word in this hour of desperation. Elisha said, this blockade is going to end, but you're not going to get to taste of it. Hear me, in the midst of hopelessness and despair, the message of the Lord is this, is that God is still bringing hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. Your situation in this room, and I'm going to tell you, as I'm preaching these two services, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, there is different from one to the other. There are things that I'm saying in this service right now that I didn't say in the first service and vice versa. And you know why? Because God knows every last one of us up in this house. He knows what's in your heart. Come on. He knows what's in your bank account. He's checking out your Facebook. He's watching your Twitter. He's looking at your Instagram, your TikTok. He's looking at all of it. God had the first app in the very beginning. In the beginning, God, he knows all, sees all. He's watching everything, and he's got a word for you this morning. Have faith in God. Do not give up in this hour.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.